This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Well, this is Jeff and Jess Affeld, and we met last week, and I'll tell you, I left there so encouraged by their story and excited about being able to communicate it in our Family Uncensored month here. And all that is just we're giving people an opportunity. Pastor Sandy and I did it Sunday, just to kind of pull the curtain back and be vulnerable and just say, this is some of the stuff we have to deal with, and this is how we dealt with it, and this is how we have overcome. Jeff has been a faithful man in this church, and Jeff and Jess were both involved in the GYC for years, and Jeff was an intern, and then he was on staff. He was my assistant for a number of years, and was incredibly helpful all the time, just amazing. So I think their story starts at a, because you guys got married young, right?
Yes.
So I just teed it up. I'm caddying here, okay? So now you got to take the swing on it.
I was pretty much a child bride, yes. Jeffrey and I have known each other since we were 14, and that's not something we tell your GYC kids, in case you're wondering. We don't tell them that they're going to marry their 14-year-old boyfriend. We actually kept that a secret from them for a long time. But we met when we were 14. We actually met in church. Jeffrey lived in Owosso in the country, and I lived in the city in Broken Arrow, BA Tiger. And we basically only saw
each other.
She's
going to make it way too easy for me.
Tiger till I die. But I work for Union, which is funny. But anyway, we met, and we had run around and were friends when we were 14, and we actually started dating, I guess, which I don't really know what that was, because we didn't really see each other ever. So we would date at church, I guess. So we started dating, but it was funny because when we started dating, we had a really serious conversation at the beginning that was, if we ever break up, we're never getting back together, which is very mature, I feel like, of a 14-year-old kid.
It's pride, too.
Yeah, or pride. He says everything is pride. Anyway, but he's always like, that's pride, Jess, but it probably is. But we started dating, and dating was easy for us. We were best friends. We communicated really well. We were planted in the church at the time. Our youth group was really amazing. We did a lot of ministry and traveled, and I mean, we were just planted in the church. So we saw each other at church, and basically that was it. We weren't even driving, so that's what we did. But we actually got married at 20, and we went to ORU after that, which we swore we would never do, and we did. And it was the best decision we ever made. That's where Jeffrey got a youth ministry degree, and I got my teaching certification there. In the process of all that, right after we got married, we realized our church kind of had a really amazing youth group, and that was it. So we decided to leave, and we came to Guts going to Sub 30, which is really funny, but we were working in college and taking 18 hours of school and working 30 hours a week, and decided that Sub 30 happened too late, so... which is not typical of a 20-year-old, but I was tired. So we got involved in GYC, which is really funny. We met Chris Hart and got involved in GYC in a girls' dorm room at ORU, which was now really inappropriate. But anyway, we saw him moving girls in, and we were like, you go to Guts? And he said, yeah. And we said, we want to be in GYC, and I think we started the very next week. So we immediately planted here without any, we didn't church hop or church shop or anything. We knew that this is where we were going to be, and that's where we've been for the last 8 years, I guess. So
yeah, and I think what was vital for us was our whole relationship, even at 15, and we were young and immature and things like that, but our whole relationship was always based on God, was always based on the Word and things like that. So when we got married and we were at a church that didn't really have anything for our age, it was pivotal and crucial for us to find something that did. And so we didn't mess around with it. We weren't like, yeah, you know, this is comfortable. We've been here for a long time. Let's just figure this out, and eventually we'll do it. Now, I think we decided one day, went in and kind of talked to our youth pastor at the time and said, hey, we just want to let you know we're leaving. We love you. You know, this is something that we have to do as far as us being fed as newlyweds. And so it really was that fast. And we met Hart and got plugged in. And I think we've been here a little over 8 years now. So our journey at Guts, it's been, so our entire adult life has been spent here and being trained under this house. And so that's kind of the story of us getting married and going to college and trying to figure all of it out. So.
Well, and that sounds really magical. But when we first got married, we were poor, obviously, because we were 20 and going to school. And, I mean, people were like, are you going to live on love? I think someone asked us that. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. But so we lived in a really sketchy apartment for 6 months. And I think my family came over and they were like, you can't live here. But we did. And one night, I think we decided, we were like, we'll live without cable. We'll make sacrifices, whatever we got to do. And I think we lived without cable for 3 days and decided that we'll starve instead of not have friends.
In our meeting last week, I hear couples that'll say, hey, we're buttoning everything down. We're going to sacrifice. Yeah. We're going to give up our cable. And in our meeting last week, Jess just looked and said, I'm not giving up cable.
I mean, we'll see how long we can actually go without eating. It's fine. It's really not that big of a deal.
I do think one night we ate popcorn and pancakes, but I had cable, so I didn't care.
Well, and then you got pregnant. And that's where this story...
6 years later.
This has been like an intro that you had to go through, because this is where I think the encouragement's going to come. But and I'm just believing that the message you conveyed to me in that meeting is going to adhere, because it's going to hit every person in this room, everybody watching on the internet, that's how powerful this is. So you guys got pregnant.
Yeah, so I think it was January, the first part of January, and I was pretty new to the staff here at the church, and I come home, and Jess she kind of has this look on her face, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I'm pregnant. Great, I'm excited.
Which was the plan, so I don't know why I was so surprised.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise or anything. So, but, I mean, the initial shock, I think, of being pregnant, it kind of took so we set a date to go to the doctor and just kind of confirm and, you know, go from there, meet the doctor, all that kind of stuff. And so when we went to the doctor the first time, from the very first time, it was Jess had high blood pressure. I mean, like 150 over 100. Almost every time we went, and which was really hard for us, because we were 20, 25, 26 years old and grew up. I mean, we had a great life. I mean, we love God. We love what we are doing, knew the word, grew up in the church and things like that. But this was the first time that we were ever hit with something. And I love what Pastor Bill says. Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And that's where we were. It was, okay, you know, we're pregnant. We're gonna ride this out for 9 months. We got 9 months to figure out what we're gonna do and do all this kind of stuff and do all the prep work. And every single time we went to the doctor, it was devastating, terrible news. Our doctor never had anything good to say, not because she was that way, but it was just because that was the news that she had to portray. Hey, your blood pressure's out of control. Every time we went, it was upping her dosage of medication and just trying to figure out, you know, where's our peace in this? What do we do in this instance? Because, you know, James says, you know, you show me your faith by what you say, and I'm going to show you mine by what I do. Well, for us, that was where the rubber met the road. It was like, okay, this is where we literally have to figure out, man, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know to do. And I knew to be in the Word, and I knew to speak the Word. I knew that there's power in speaking God's Word. And so for 7 months, that's all we did. It was devastating news every time we went. And, you know, trying to figure out, it's like, okay, this is the worst news that you can get every time you go in. And having to prepare ourselves every time we went to the doctor, every time we got off the phone with our doctor, having to prepare ourselves because fear initially sets in. And it's like, okay, you know, Jess is dealing with this extreme hypertension. Luckily, the baby, Reese, never felt it. That's one thing our doctor always said. It's like, man, What's crazy about your situation is with this high blood pressure, as long as you've been dealing with this blood pressure in your pregnancy, I've never seen a baby not feel it like this. The baby never felt it. And so in getting that, it's like, okay, here's where we have to get our traction. We have to constantly be in the Word. And because at every single turn, it was like, okay, the doctor's appointment's over. Now I have a week to prepare for the next doctor's appointment. And in doing that, for me, that's when I became a man of God. That's when I became, the Word is life to those who find it health to their flesh. The Word literally became my life and who I was. And so dealing with that was the start of just this, I mean, for me, the walk of faith that we continue to walk out today.
And I think, too, the healed CD was a major aspect of that nine-month period. It played in our cars. It played in our home. It played in my phone. And I was, because I didn't know what else to do. And it really comes down to, do you really believe what you say you do? Especially when I went in at 30 weeks, I actually went in to get my blood pressure checked, which I was doing every 3 days, I think. And I didn't leave. So I parked in five-minute parking. I had my purse, and I never came out of the hospital. So that was fun. During that time, though, I really felt like the pressure was on me because of all the people around watching what was happening. You know, your blood pressure is crashing. This is what the facts say. This is what the Word says, but the facts say this. So people that, you know, weren't living in faith with us or didn't really understand that, or, you know, some of my Baptist friends that always ask if I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit for them, you know, I really felt like the pressure was on to, you can't crack, and this is really where you prove to everybody that you believe that God heals every time, that His Word never returns void, and that God heals all who are afflicted. And I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I hope this is true, because this is exactly what we speak and profess boldly. And it's not something that people outside the church don't know about us, you know, and our coworkers and colleagues. They know that that's how we feel about it. So that was interesting. So I was there for 10 days before Reese was born. And that was the very first time that we've ever really stood in faith for something life or death. And I don't want to discount things that we've never stood in faith for. I mean, finances or an early marriage or college or all these things that we had believed for. There was things in our life that we had believed in faith for, but this was really where it was life or death. I mean, for Reese and myself. And we actually, I remember I said, the healed CD says to call the elders of the church in. I knew that. I've never had to do that. So I said, call Scott and Vanessa and get them up here. I don't care what it takes. I am so over this. And I remember Scott saying to me, do you have any unforgiveness in your life? Because you can't be healed with unforgiveness in your life. And in my head, I'm thinking, I don't think I do. Like, I was going through all the scenarios. But the bottom line is God was faithful every single time. Every time she came in with a blood pressure machine, it was high. Every time she left, it was still high. I had Reese. She was born at 32 weeks and 4 days, and she was 4 pounds and went into the NICU and was a feeder grower. And the whole time, all the nurses just kept saying, she's totally great. She just needs to learn how to eat. And it was cool because while we were getting all of these bad reports, we were still seeing God work miracles in that. And it's not, you know, oh, she's on a breathing tube, or her lungs weren't developed. Everything that was pertaining to her and her health was done. And I think that was, and also, too, I went through the fact of, you know, do I believe what I say I'm going to believe? After she was born, I was released from the hospital without her. So, and I remember Pastor Sandy saying, I did the same thing. It's unmet expectation. It's hard. You're going to make it. Literally, for a month, I went to church. I went to the NICU, and I went home because I didn't know what else to do. And, I mean, Jeffrey was on staff here. He was Pastor Bill's assistant at the time, and I just stood in service probably with, a deer in headlights because I didn't know where else to go. And I think that's where we decided and Pastor Bill talked about it on Sunday, having a covenant with the church. And, you know, marriage, you enter it with no exits. I feel like that way with the church. You enter the church in covenant with no exits. And I think that's where we were really bound and in covenant with the church because of what it was, what it represented in our life at that point. And so I think that was pretty intense. But she went home at 4 weeks, and has never been sick, and never, all the things that they said that were going to be wrong with her weren't. ADHD, she's going to have hearing loss. I mean, she passed every single test that they did on her. And I mean, it was just really neat to see that in the process of, do I really believe what I say I'm going to? And God actually coming through and performing that in our life was pretty amazing.
And I remember that whole 10-day period being in the hospital and, you know, Jess and I having real conversations like, you know, Jess was, you know, in a vulnerable state, like, you know, this is so hard, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. And I'm, you know, I'm being the husband, I'm being the spiritual head of my household, you know, God's word never returns void and things like that. And I can remember going in the bathroom and just bawling because I didn't know what I was doing. And I remember being in the shower and just saying, you know, man, it just may be that God will work for us. And man, God's going to perform. And so like we, honestly, every day we just put one foot in front of the other. It could have been a daunting thing for us to look down the road and be like, hey, we've got 7 months of this hell that we've got to face, but we didn't. The doctors, you know, we'd come in, we knew the doctor didn't have anything good to say, so we would, you know, thank you for your time, and we'd leave, and we would just kind of stand on the word and say, man, God's word promises this, and in Psalm, for me, it was huge to kind of speak this over our family. In Psalm 34, it just says to pursue peace and work to maintain it. And for me, that became a pivotal verse in my life just because peace is not usually natural. That's why you have to pursue it and you have to work for it. And then from there, every week we had to just work to maintain that peace. And, you know, we found our peace in that, knowing that, man, God's, you know, the facts are subject to change, just like Pastor Bill says all the time. But what was great was, we don't live by what we see or how we feel or what we hear. We live by faith, and that's where we put all of our stock.
Well, and that was 3 years ago. So for 3 years, I get questions like, are you going to have any more kids? Are you going to go through that again? I'm never going to go through that again. I would never do that if I were you. And this pregnancy obviously hasn't happened yet, but it was completely planned because in my head, I was not fearful of what happened before. And in my head, I was also like, if it does happen and it won't, worst case scenario is that, and we have an amazing kid. So for 3 years, we've really been speaking that fear has no place in our life. And what does the word say about this pregnancy? And at first I almost went in with it with almost flippant because I was so much more spiritually prepared for this one. So I wasn't having to, like, get my mind under control every time I went to the doctor. Like, I just knew it was going to be okay. And the first time we went in, which was actually the exact same timing as Reese, was January, and it was fine. And she and I was going like a normal person goes, not every day, which was really nice. And this whole pregnancy has been 100% normal. And I think that's God being faithful, but also God showing you that if you take a step out in the midst of a storm, He's going to come through for you, because we could have actually been done after Reese and never wanted to go through that again. And that's exactly what Satan wanted in our life. So I think that whole, and Pastor Bill said it on Sunday, we prepare our life for when the storm comes. That doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. We almost sit in anticipation, ready to fight for those things in our life. And so when we decided to do that, it was completely planned, but we also, I almost had a conviction about it, you know, halfway through, thinking, I haven't really stood on the word or prayed as much as I should be about this, but it was almost like that was already taken care of for us. We've already been speaking that, and it's really neat to see God's faithfulness in that, but also it's neat to see people around me going, oh my gosh, you're having a full-term baby next week. And I mean, that's just God. It's neat to be used as a testimony like that. So,
well, and I just appreciate this story because I can. Everyone in here, we can apply that to something in our life. When that test comes, and here, what's interesting is this was a test. This was a trial. This was, and what we have to be, and it's interesting because what Jesus said is Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Acts 1:8. And we all think about that as I love that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But then he said, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, What's interesting is the evangelical world has taken that, and that's how we witness, or personal evangelism is that witness. But the actual thing, it's much broader than that. It's, you look at this, what they were was a witness to this. People that were in their life before, people that had to deal with things but maybe weren't of the same persuasion of faith and confidence in faith. That, I mean, they're asking them. They're saying, "What are you gonna pray in the Spirit over it, or what are you gonna believe God, and God's gonna heal you and your baby?" And it's almost this. It kind of can feel like friendly fire sometimes. But for them, and a key, and what hit me last week was that may have been why. And he was let me tell you, these guys are blessings in our lives. And Jeff was a tremendous assistant and blessing to me. But he might just have been my assistant just because he was going to take that first initial kind of father hit that he took. And let me just tell you, good fathers do that. Good fathers go into the shower and cry out to God. Good fathers, man, get alone and have that time where it's like, God, I'm standing on your word, and this has got to be true. And the bottom line, and I think that's what we're missing out a lot of times in our homes, is that I'm not going to lose here. I am not going to give any ground. I'm not going to give an inch. That's why, we probably should cover this more often, but that's why our confession is so vital. The Bible says that we eat good, or we overeat from the words that come out of our mouth. You know, it's the expression in the world is, you're going to eat those words. Or an expression in the world is, be careful about your words, make them sweet, because you're going to end up having to eat them. But it's scriptural that we do eat good, the fruit that comes out of our mouth. And that fruit's either going to be fear, or it's going to be faith. See, and those are our choices. See, I think all too often people just think, man, I don't know what to do. There's so many moving parts. There really isn't. The only aspect of this that can move is fear or faith. And what God promised is that, it's interesting because they can put it up in Romans, the 8th chapter. And again, read Romans 8 regularly. I'm telling you, it's just a powerful chapter. Romans is probably the greatest book that's ever been written. But Romans 8:15 says, for you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We didn't, now listen, but look at the first part of it, because we love the adoption part of it and the Papa God part of it. But listen, for you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. See, all this was a ploy of the enemy to get the Afelds back in bondage. But you know what? Man, they knew God had set them free. They knew that the weapon of their warfare wasn't carnal, but it was mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. That one report in January when you were brand new pregnant with Reese, that one report could have put them into bondage that would have affected the rest of their life. And I see that all the time. I remember Christine Kane, the very first brunch that she spoke at, when she told her story of personal, where she was abused by men in her neighborhood, and she said, but I made a decision, I wasn't gonna get caught or stuck in that moment. Well, that's the decision that Jeff and Jess had to make. They weren't gonna get caught in that moment. And I think that happens in way too many lives. Man, the devil's gonna remind you of your failures, remind you of your past, remind you of your shortcomings, remind you of what you don't have. I mean, the bottom line is this, is that either your life is in God's hands or it isn't. And if it is in God's hands, the Bible says that nothing can snatch us from the Father's hands. See, and that's the idea of this is in Paul wrote to Timothy in the second letter to Timothy, and I believe he knew that was going to be his last correspondence with Timothy. And Timothy being a spiritual son, and he said, look, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Man, he's having to lead all these people. Man, tens of thousands of people in that church that Timothy led. And all he had was, man, you think about the training they had with Paul. Man, we don't know how long it was. I suspect it wasn't as long as we think it was. And because these letters are so poignant, these letters are so basic. But in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, listen, Timothy, man, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. You know what he's saying? He's saying, man, it's time for you to man up. It's time for you to soldier up. Man, suit up, man. But power and love and a sound mind. Let's repeat those three things. Power, love, and a sound mind. See, that if they didn't get that in check, if they'd allowed, because I'll tell you what was knocking on the door of their home. It wasn't just some garden variety fear. It was a spirit of fear trying to get into their home. And you know something, looking at it thinking, man, this is going to be bad for 7 months. And you know what, that, and what's amazing is how the enemy tried to operate there, where it wasn't a monthly or twice a month or weekly, the doctor's point. No, it was every 3 days and then every day for the doctor to say the same thing. And you know what? Man, they determined in their heart that they wouldn't move. I love pastor to church when people are in a pickle like that, that she could say, I went home, I went to the hospital, and I went to church. I didn't know what else to do. I love that. Man, there aren't any other options. Man, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, love, and a sound mind. What? Able to make good decisions. Able to see the deception, the enemy. The facts say this, but what's the truth? What does God's word promise you? That's all that can come out of our mouth. And I'll tell you, I'm a hawk with that stuff. I really am. Man, I'm not going to let any kind of bad confession or any of that. I'm telling you, because we eat good, the fruit that comes out of our mouth. Your life right now, I'm just telling you, my life right now is exactly what I've said it was going to be for years. That's where I ended up. That's where you are. Or the words that you receive. You know what? They could have received that doctor's report. And you know what would have happened? They would have flipped that door open and fear would have been, a spirit of fear would have been able to walk right into their home. But you know what? The devil might do that with you with finances. Do you worry about your money? Do you worry about having enough money? Do you understand? That's a first cousin of the love of money. And the Bible simply says the love of money is the root of all evil. But if you're worrying about your money, you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, I don't believe that you're my source. God, I don't believe that you truly provide. So I've got to spend my time worrying. And you know, the Bible's, so man, you ought to do a study on worrying and what worrying's going to do. Is it going to cause you to grow even a little bit? No. You know what it's going to do? It's going to stunt your growth. It's going to retard your growth to where you're not going to be able to grow. And then you know something? You begin to cast away your confidence. What are you facing today? What's in front of you today? It may not be a traumatic pregnancy. But you know what? It may be just as traumatic in another area of your life. And you know what you've got to do? You've got to put the word, you've got to throw that word, you've got to throw God's promise at it every chance you get. Every time you think about it, the devil would come in and try to attack them in the thought life. That's where he's going to try to deceive you, is in your mind. And thoughts don't counter thoughts. Words counter thoughts. That's why we've got to speak it. The Bible says, preach the word. Listen, not just for preachers. Man, you've got to preach the word in season and out of season. What is preaching? It's a bold proclamation of God's word. Man, no matter what you're facing, no matter how big and strong and mighty and multiple your enemy is, I'm telling you, and what Jess said, I ascribe to wholeheartedly, the word of God will never return void of power. It will absolutely accomplish that for which God sent it. And God sent it to bless us. I'm just telling you, this is my wheelhouse. I mean, if you pulled off all the layers of doctrine and theology and belief, and you get to the core value, it's, you know what? We were born to win. And the only way we can win is if we take the initiative, and we're not always reactive, but we're proactive with God's promise. That we proactively speak to our wallets, speak to your checkbook, speak to your bills, speak to your home. The Bible says this. Then you think about the tithe. An aspect of the tithe is that God will rebuke the devourer from the midst of us. I promise you, I've never asked Jeff and Jess, do you tithe? I promise you, we could go back through the records. We should have put it up on the screen and shown their giving records through that time. And you know what you'd see? You'd see the tithe in operation. And now, you know what? They've got a little girl that I'm giving candy to every chance I get because I want her to love me. But see, the bottom line is, this is how we do life. This is it. You know, there's a lot of people, there's a phrase that I it's so cheesy, I kind of get tired of it, but it's like, hey, we're doing life together here as a church. No, you know what? Man, we're standing shoulder to shoulder. Man, who's Eric English in my life? He's a man who stood shoulder to shoulder with me no matter what. Well, that's what the church is. And you know what? And God loves that when we dwell together in unity. Man, we're praying for one another. We're helping one another. We're helping each other deal with one another. Man, not suffering little offenses from... so immature. And let's be who God's called us to be. Let's shut the door on the enemy. How many of you guys maybe have left the door open? Maybe the enemy's just kind of just slapping you around. You're enduring it. I say we shut the door on him. Right here and right now. You might say, well, how do you know it's the devil? Let me tell you my go-to, my default. Anything good is from God. Anything bad is from the devil. Whether he may not have had anything to do with poison ivy, but guess what? He reaps the repercussion of my proactivity in response to poison ivy. I'm not thinking, well, I wonder if that was the devil or not. I wonder if that was my human error. I wonder if that was, no, you know what? I'm laying it all on him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to proclaim God's promise. And you know what's going to happen? Your life and your future are going to follow that promise. And you know what God makes sure? God makes sure that he propels your life so much so that your life comes into that promise, and that's what you begin to live. You think about the land that flows with milk and honey. You think about the land that has so much incredible fruit that you can't carry it out on your own. Man, let me just tell you, this right here has propelled them to an incredible life. Just the one decision they made, the very first doctor's appointment, that they were going to stand on God's promise, that baby, that mama would live and not die and dwell safely and prosperously on the earth. And you know what? I believe God loves that. You know what God wants to do? I'm just telling you, you guys know the hard part's over. I preached this two months ago, whenever, I don't know. The hard part's over. Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? He sits at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us right now. The hard part's over. It's your move. You guys waiting on God. It's your move. But God will back your play.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.